Let's turn to John, John chapter 1. I want to read part of this chapter. It's part of the introduction. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's talking about Jesus Christ. It says, "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So here we see God the Father and Jesus Christ together, and Jesus Christ creating all things through God, and that Jesus Christ is also God. It says in verse 4, "In him was life, and that the life was the light of men. And the life was the light of men." Talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ living in those who respond to that calling. Only made possible by Jesus Christ, as we'll see here as we continue. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So just as darkness does not comprehend light, and vice versa, talking about here, those who have God's Holy Spirit in them will be shining, will be living that light. And those who do not have the Holy Spirit will not be able to comprehend the light. Those who do not have God's Holy Spirit will be in darkness, and they cannot comprehend God's way of life. In verse 6, "There was a man sent from God," talking about John the Baptist, "whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of this light, that all through him might believe." That it's through Jesus Christ that we will have life. John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now that's for all mankind. But that is a time when God draws them to Jesus Christ. God has a plan, a salvation for all mankind. And this process is through this light, our Creator, who made us. In verse 10, "He was in the world." He came in the world in the flesh. "And the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." So here's God, the creator of everything that is, humbled himself, set us an example, humbled himself to give of himself that others could gain eternal life. And that through us yielding to him, that light could shine where he would be given the glory. And it shows here that the world did not know him. And as we were reading, why did the world not know him? It's because the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. But it's talking about the world. The world did not know him because without God's Holy Spirit, without that calling, without people responding to that calling, they will be in darkness. And they cannot comprehend the light. They cannot comprehend life. They cannot comprehend God the Father and Jesus Christ. In verse 11 it says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." So when he was here on the earth, his own nationality, the Jews, they didn't receive him. So they didn't receive him either. Verse 12, "But as many as received him," but to those who did receive him, those that were given the gift of repentance and changed and responded, to them he gave power to become sons of God, to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, those who have been baptized recognized their sins, recognized that they needed help, that they needed to change, and they wanted to become like God, to live to God, so that light could be shining in them. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's talk about Jesus Christ, who came and was born of a baby, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth, who became our high priest, who came and paid the death penalty for all mankind, so that the light, his way of life, could shine in those who respond and live his way of life. And we know that in society, there's many concepts and there's many ways of how people think they should be living or keeping obedience to God or just accepting Jesus Christ. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And we, the United Church of God's teaching is, we know that we need to keep the commandments. And we're told this. Jesus Christ reminds us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to bring to the fullest extent, to give, to help, to set an example, to bring the Holy Spirit. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, says not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So all the promises from the beginning, the Old Testament, the New Testament, God does not lie. He's going to fulfill everything that he said, and he upholds his law. He even brings it to another level. He says, verse 19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So we know, we're told, that we have to keep the commandments. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus Christ goes on how he expands the law. That through him, life can be given. Through him, in us, as we yield to him, the light can shine. We can express his ways and how we live our life, not of self-righteousness as the scribes and the Pharisees, as we heard a little bit in the first message. Because Jesus Christ goes on to say, the scribes and Pharisees must exceed, and they kept the law, but, you know, they didn't, their righteousness, as we heard in the first message, was awful. But we are told, as you continue into the chapters in the book, it says that we're not to murder, but if we even think evil or speak evil, that we're also committing murder. That also adultery in the heart. And if we just think of a woman in the wrong way, we've already committed adultery. So Jesus Christ expands the law. He tells us to love our enemies, to do good to all. You know, God's law is spiritual. It's perfect, it's holy, it's just, and it is good. And his law defines himself and is based upon two great principles of love towards God and love towards everyone else. Because we ask, who is my neighbor? It's everyone. It's love towards everyone. God the Father came, sent Jesus Christ, and he died for all mankind. And his law that, and it's his law that reveals the only way to true life and the only possible way of happiness, peace, and joy. And it is a delight. I was talking with someone before services, a couple of people before services. God's law is a delight. And when we break any one point of that law, it brings the penalty of sin. No matter how minor we think that sin might be, no matter what sin we've committed, if we've only committed one sin in our life, even a minor, what we think is minor, like we take God's name in vain, it is not minor, but we sometimes will look at the law and judge, okay, well, I'm not killing someone. Or we just, hey, if we even think evil or speak evil of someone, we are breaking the commandments. Jesus Christ still had to come back and die for even one sin. In 1 John 3:4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So when we sin, we're breaking God's law. And when we violate any of God's instructions, we sin. When our conscience thinks that we're sinning and we continue in it, that is also sin. If we know what we should be doing and we don't do it, that is also sin. So with that in mind, and with sin all around us, we're in the world. We're not to be of the world. We're to be a light. We're to have God the Father and Jesus Christ living in us if we've repented and been baptized and received the Holy Spirit. We need to be living to God. We need to be living to them. What can we put into practical use to help us in seeking to live God's way of life this week? Not just this week, but every week, every day. What is required of us that we need to be doing? And as we go through this message, what can we be thinking of, and what can we be doing this week? What is, that we can see that is essential to this calling, to be letting that light so shine in our life? You know, what should our minds be focused on? You know, we've been invited. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6 before we get into this. We've been invited to this awesome calling. And we must accept this invitation. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse chapter 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, so if we've died to sin, just as Jesus Christ died to sin, we don't want any part of it in our life, certainly we also shall be in his likeness of the resurrection. We shall be a part of being resurrected, to be a part of God's kingdom, to receive eternal life. In verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that our old way of life, that we put that down, we put that away. We don't want any more to do with that way of life. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We should no longer be serving that way of life, of darkness. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We've been freed from the penalty of sin. We've been freed from having to continue in sin, of wanting to sin, because we have this helper to help us to want to change, to want to do what's right. Now, it says, but now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So if we've died and had our sins forgiven and want nothing to do with sin, then it says here, we shall also live with him. The light shall shine in us. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. And we see the example we just read over in John that he was God. He is God. He's the Son of God. And he does whatever the Father tells him to do. And he yields to that and does that. And gave of himself that we might have life. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Be dead. Do not want anything to do with it. And but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. So we're being told to not obey, to fall into the trap of the focus of ourselves, of following self-righteousness, to be seeking ungodly characteristics. And we can read that throughout the Bible as well. But that's what we don't want to be a part of. We want to change. We want to come out of this world. In our job, in our societies, when we're around the world, we can't get involved in the world. We need to come out of it. We need to be different. Our light needs to shine. Society is focused on themselves. We need to be focused on God and living his way of life so we can be focused on everyone, as we'll get to here in just a little bit as we break it down. And it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're not under the penalty of the law when we yield to God and obey God. We are under God's grace once we are called and we submit and surrender to him and continue that process of true repentance. So, as we are in this world, as we see that we are not to be in darkness, we are to be in the light, that it's through Jesus Christ that we can have this light, that we can be this light, that it's through him that we get this from. It's he that has died for us. And that we must, through him, continue to die in our sins and have nothing to do with sin. Do we still sin? Yes, we make mistakes. But it's something that we don't want to continue in. We don't want to practice it. So what's the mindset? What should we be doing that we can be working on every day, throughout the day, so that we can be having this light shine in us? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And this is nothing new to us. We have the situation, and Jesus Christ is speaking to the multitudes. He breaks away. We're speaking in parables. He breaks away. He explains things to his disciples. And he's telling them, your righteousness must exceed that of the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So, today I want to look at these Beatitudes, as we call beautiful attitudes or godly attributes as well, because these are godly attributes. This is what we must be seeking every day in our life, to be letting that light shine. This is the mindset that we need to have. And Jesus Christ says in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. So here he's talking about, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who are cognizant of knowing that they need God's Holy Spirit, that they need to change, that they want to change, that they know they're poor. They're poor in spirit and they need more of God's Holy Spirit to change. We seek humility. I think I've got a couple of verses to go with each one of these. And the first one I have is Isaiah 66. Breaking into that verse of chapter 2 says, "But on this one will I look." And this is talking about God. What type of person will I look? "On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." One who knows that they need help. One who knows that God is my source. And it's through him that I can be rich in spirit. I'm poor. I could do nothing on my own. We need him. God says in James chapter 4, starting in verse 6, he says, "But he gives more grace." Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this is an attitude that we recognize and see that when we're crying out to God and seeking his ways to help me, help us to not be self-righteous, but help us to change and to become more like you. He says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we don't want to practice sin. If we don't want to practice sin, then God helps us in that mindset, and we don't want to have anything to do with Satan. And his ways will flee from us. He will flee from us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So God wants us to get on our knees and to come to him and to seek him. He says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners." We are sinners. We need to be cleaned. "And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." We need to get rid of the haughty attitude, the superior attitude, or maybe, you know, or still hanging on to some sins. We need to totally want to get rid of all them. We want to be living a life that is pleasing to God, where we can be an aid and a help to others. Continuing on in verse 4, as we recognize and see that we want to be seeking humility, so God can lift us up and guide us and help us, so his light can shine in us, that we can be living to them. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Again, as we just read in James, we want to see and recognize and hate sin. We want to recognize and see that we are sinners, that we want to hate sin. And when we sin, it is against God. It is against God. We sin against God. But that sin affects others. And others can suffer as well as ourselves. And I just want to refer to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. You know, we're coming up onto the presidential elections this coming week. And we know no matter who gets in the office, you know, God's kingdom is still going to come. People are still going to be in pain and misery and suffering. But as it says in Ezekiel chapter 9 and in verse 4, that, you know, we must sigh and cry. We must be concerned and hate others. We must be concerned, hate sin. We must be concerned about others and hate sin. We must really feel what others are going to be going through and not just be happy they're going through it. We want to truly, eventually, have everyone know God's way of life. That's our concern. We need to be living God's way of life. That's what God wants. His plan is for all mankind to eventually know him. And we know that plan takes time. It's a different process for different phases of the calling of his people. But we should also have that same desire of not being self-righteous like the scribes and the Pharisees and thinking that we're okay and not thinking of others and we're focused on ourselves while we're really hurting others. When we live our week, when we go to our jobs, our focus should be on God and seeking humility so he can show us the right way to live so that we can recognize and see that we can mourn, that we are sinners and that we need to be changed. Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You know, here, We want to be teachable. Now, there's different things to these. You could go through these attitudes, these attributes, but this is what we need to be seeking, to be a part of God's way of life, to allow them to be living in us, you know, through the Holy Spirit. We want God to teach us his ways. We can't be Mr. and Mrs. Know-it-all. Someone was telling me at the feast that they pray every time before they come up to speak. You know, and I think not just in praying before we speak, but we should also be praying in everything we do. I was talking with someone before services, and it's, you know, things go so much better when we pray before we leave the house. You know, if we start having things happen throughout the day and things aren't working right, oh, did I forget to pray this morning? You know, it doesn't take long before that to kick in. But we want to be praying, we want to have the mindset of God. We want him to help us to learn of his ways. And that's just something on our focal point, that we get in situations throughout the week that we get into, and we don't always know what to do. Sometimes our nature, you know, comes out, where our nature is weak, and we need help. We need God's guidance. We need his strength. We need his comfort. We need his help to be able to do what is right, to seek that repentance. You know, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It's through him that we can have eternal life, and it's through him that we can be living their ways now. David says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. So we have that example from David. Verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, when we're praying this, that we're seeking to be changed, we're seeking to live God's way of life, he will answer those prayers. He does. You know, we read it in the first scripture back in Isaiah. That's the type of attitude God wants. Someone who knows that they need to change. And how do we know? Well, God has to give us that gift to help us to see that we need to change. Those individuals, those people are not in the world. Those individuals come out of the world. That's who we are to be. That's how we are to live. So we want to be made right. And God is the one who fixes us. He's the one who teaches us and makes us right. And as we heard, and as the Ten Commandments were read, you know, we don't want to be coveting things for ourselves. We don't want to be coveting this car, this things that are not ours, or even things that coveting to the extent where I want this physical thing or that physical thing, and that's what's going to make me happy. That's sin. We need to be coveting God's Holy Spirit, because that is what is going to make us happy. It's not wrong to have nice things. It's not wrong to want to move up in your job. But if we think that moving up in the job, make more money, and that's what's going to make me happy, and that's my pursuit in life, and if it even I have to step on someone over here, well, they're not good for that job anyway. The boss really doesn't know their faults. And, you know, we need to lift each other up. We need to be made right. Our focus is not to be pursuing things for ourselves. Our focus is to be focusing on God and his way of life, to be made right so that we can be in his kingdom, so we can let that light shine in us now, that we can be happy. We can have that joy that God gives us in keeping his law. You know, God's ways do make us happy. They do make us content. And God doesn't want us to break his laws, because when we break his laws, there's pain and there's suffering. So God gives us his Holy Spirit to yield to them, to seek them, to have a different mindset, to get rid of our old mindset, because it's only through them showing us, as we've repented and received the Holy Spirit, them showing us their way. We need to fill, get rid of that old stuff and fill it up with the new stuff, God's way. We must be seeking that and desiring that, and not wanting to keep filling up our glass, our way of life, to keep doing wrong, as we read earlier. And verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive, obtain mercy. You know, forgive others is how you want to be forgiven. James 2:3 reads, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We want the best for others. We want to know that vengeance is God's. We want to be able to express our actions coming through the Holy Spirit. Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to anyone. Love does no harm to anyone. And that's something that I need to be focusing on more. So how many times am I running in my life and things that I'm doing that God is helping me through His Holy Spirit, that I need to slow down, I need to be more mindful of other people, making sure that I'm taking the time to make sure that they're okay, showing love and compassion and kindness. And we can do that throughout this day. We can do that with our mates, with our children, with our coworkers, that we can be uplifting no matter what we're going through in our life, monetarily or anything like that. God is the one who gives us that comfort. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. When we're seeking this mindset, when we're seeking this way of life, we're seeking to express this way and that we need to be filled with their Holy Spirit, their guidance, their direction. And this is what we're seeking through the right mindset. We know how to love others. It's through a relationship with God. And Colossians chapter 3 says, Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, it says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And it says in verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. So that's what we must be doing in our life. If anyone has a complaint against another, we need to forgive. You know, we're all on a different level of conversion, and we need to be patient with each other. And there's some people, when we get out into the world, that do not have God's Holy Spirit, they're not living His way of life. You know, we need to be putting on that love. And that comes through the right mindset. That comes through seeking God's way of life. In verse 17, it says, and whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So again, we give the focus, the direction to God the Father and Jesus Christ, because it's through them we're able to do any good that is in us. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is our focus. God's way is pure. In Titus chapter 1, I like to read in verse 15, it says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. So if we're living, going into the world, going into our workplace or at home, and we're not treating others right, our focus is on ourselves, we're not implementing God's way of life, we don't have the mindset of seeking Him, having Him to help us to know His way of life, to help, to ask for help and knowing how to live. How can we do that? We need to be focusing on these pure things. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So if we think that we can, as we heard in the first message, just be keeping the commandments, the letter of the law, and not breaking it down to the spirit of the law, because even the Ten Commandments, you know, they're spiritual. God's law is spiritual. And it's through His Holy Spirit that we're able to keep these laws to the extent that God wants, through His Son, through the sacrifice. And in Philippians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 8 and 9. Says, Paul is saying here, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, we can be distracted in our daily pursuits. When we're in the world, Satan is going to do whatever he can. And we're told here that we can meditate, have the mind of Christ. We can be focusing on their way of life, whatever is good. And we can have that long-term goal, that long-term reward that God wants to give us, that we want to be a part of. And to be a part of that, we need to be living that now. In verse 9, another attribute that we want to be living is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. These are individuals who want to keep the unity. Romans chapter 12. Paul says, and starting in verse 17, says, repay no one evil for evil. So whether we're in the world, or whether we're in services or amongst church brethren, and not everyone is going to live up to this. We need to have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And it says that if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. We've been given God's Holy Spirit. We must continue to be having the mindset of these attributes that God tells us that we need to be having through the Holy Spirit, coming to the understanding that we need them, that it's through Him, that we need to yield to them. And we've had some messages. We had one at the feast. We had one here just recently that to be a peacemaker, we sometimes suffer loss. We have to give. And we're fine with that. Our human nature that's weak does not want to give things up. But we need to be able to uplift another person. We want to be a peacemaker. We want to be able to create unity. And whatever we need to do to keep the unity, we will do it. That is part of keeping God's commandments. Whatever it takes. And when it comes from the heart, that really becomes us, is through the Holy Spirit. And verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we get persecuted. A lot of people get persecuted. There's a lot of persecution out there. But here it's saying, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We don't want to be taking that I'm sinning, and because I'm suffering, that I'm being persecuted. But that's good. That's not what it's talking about. And I think there's a good example over here in James that we can bring up. It's talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake, for obeying God. James chapter 5, James talks about here. It says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. It says, you have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You've lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. So here it's talking about those in the world. Now here, James is actually talking to the 12 tribes of Israel. And not everyone is following God's way of life. But he's preaching to all 12 tribes. Not everyone has God's Holy Spirit. Some do have God's Holy Spirit, but he's talking to everyone. He says, you have condemned, you have murdered the just, and these are the individuals who have God's Holy Spirit, who are living these attributes that we're just reading about. He does not resist you. And then James goes on to comfort those that are yielding to God, that are letting that light shine in them. He says, therefore, be patient. He says, have an attitude of restraint. This is how we are to be living. We are to let that light shine. Jesus Christ came into this world, and they killed him. He let his light shine. Those who killed him were of the world. They were of the darkness. And darkness does not comprehend the light. Without God calling them, without a response, without them yielding and recognizing, knowing that my ways are wrong, I need your ways, this is what I need to be seeking, this is the attitude that I need to be having, these are the attributes that I need to be seeking. Without that, we would be of the world. But he says, you're not of the world. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Continue in this way of life. Continue in these attributes until we physically die or if Jesus Christ returns in our lifetime. And he gives us an example. He says, and he talks about the farmer here. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So here's the farmer, plants the seed. He knows the crop is going to come up. Has to be watered, has to be nurtured, has to have sunshine, has to have wind. And you know that all comes from God. And he's patient. He continues in the process. He knows that it needs rain. He says, just as the farmer, you be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. We need to endure. We need to continue. He says, and then do not grumble against one another. And then he just goes on down and talking of how we're supposed to be living. But the point here that I wanted to bring out is that we are to endure. We are to be patient. We have the focus of that reward that's coming. We just need to continue to be living God's way of life now. That needs to be our focus. John 16:33, in reference to this, says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, that in the world you'll have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And also in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Because we are of the light. So going back to Matthew chapter 5, in verse 11, says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But we don't lash out. We are able to forgive and not speak evil of others. We just hold fast. We know that one day too that their eyes will be opened and given this opportunity to seek these attributes. In verse 13 it says, it's talking about you are the salt of the earth. Now, back then, and it still is today, salt is, we all like salt. Back then, people were paid sometimes in salt. It was a preservative. It added to the food. You know, it was something of value. And we're being told here that you are the salt of the earth. You have, you know, I think we can parallel this, that you have the Holy Spirit. You have this gift to be able to seek these attributes. But if the salt loses its flavor, if we don't use the Holy Spirit to be seeking these attributes, it says, how shall it be seasoned? How can we keep God's law to the spiritual intent? I said, it is then good for nothing. If we're not using these attributes into our lives and seeking God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving everyone as ourself, and seeking God for help and guidance in that, it says it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You are seeking these attributes. You're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men. Let us live in you, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They may see that you're keeping God's spiritual law to the fullest extent. So that is our desire. That's what our desire we should be seeking and living, is become more like them, to allow them to be living in us. And I'm going to turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And just to be reminded that, you know, we still do sin. We still do make mistakes. And that when we violate any of God's laws, physically, spiritually, in the mind, we are committing sin. And we're told that we are of God. If we are of the light, we will not want to sin. We will not want to practice sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin. So all unrighteousness, anything contrary to God's way of life, his ways, is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. So we know Romans chapter 6:33, or Romans chapter 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But there is a sin here that does not lead to death. Verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. It's those who do not practice sin, who use that gift of repentance. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We're seeking godly attributes. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. They are in darkness, and they cannot comprehend the light. And verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. That we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So eternal life is them living in us as we yield to them and hating sin and wanting to repent of sin. You know, we're told, so I want to refer to this, that Paul tells us over in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, that it's the sin that so easily ensnares us. Sin is enticing. Satan wraps it up, puts it in a package and puts a bow on it, and he makes it look good. God allows him to do that. But if we're seeking these godly attributes, we don't want anything to do with that package. We want to live our life a different way. And we recognize and see that any form of sin will separate us from God. Paul tells us in Corinthians chapter 13 to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. How are we living? What are we doing? And when we examine ourselves and we see that we're sinning, there is no amount of obedience that can reverse the effect of the death penalty. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's only accepting Him as our high priest, as our redeemer, as we've been called, and we yield to Him to live to the fullest, the spiritual extent of all His laws through these attributes. And we know that we must be keeping God's commandments, all of them, and that forgiveness of sin is only through God's grace. And we're given God's grace through His Son, but His commandments must be followed. It's something that we don't want to be practicing. It's something that we want to be coming out of. So as we go into our daily lives, as we live our daily lives, we want to be having this focal point of seeking God and asking for His guidance, asking for them to be living in us so that we can see what we need to be doing. We don't want to be enslaved to sin. We want to repent. We want to be doers of God's law in every capacity, in every way. And it's through them that they show us and what to be doing. I'm encouraged by 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. You know, Timothy gives God, or here as Paul is talking to Timothy, encouraging him, it's like the credit is given to God. It says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever." So they deliver us from every evil work. Our works are evil. Their works are good. If we're yielding to them with the right mindset, we can be doing good works where God and Jesus Christ get the credit. So for us to ultimately share eternity with God, we must share their thoughts. We must agree with their approach. We must embrace their ways and uphold their values that are expressed in their word, in this Bible. Through the Holy Spirit, we have this understanding. Through the ministry that is not perfect, but is held to a higher standard, that must set the right example in all that we do. And admit, just like all of us must admit when we're sinners, when we make mistakes. And when God shows it to us, we respond. And we don't cause division. We step up and take responsibility for our actions. That is godly. That is God living in us. And we should be able to see the difference in individuals that respond to correction because God is there to want to bring many sons to glory. He wants us to see all our sins, and we are all sinners. We all make mistakes. And we should be aware of everything that we do. Remember, we're called to live to God. We're called to put unrighteousness away, and we are to live to righteousness. We've been given a gift. We've been given the gift of His Holy Spirit. We've been given many gifts. We've been given the gift of repentance. Let's receive it. Let's use it. Let's seek heartfelt repentance. Let's ask for forgiveness when we sin and ask for help to overcome. Let's use these godly attributes so we can keep His law and not break His law. So this week, let's put into practice this invitation to become like them. Let's seek their character by having the right desires. Our desires should be right and seeking their ways to help us to be doing what is right. We're called to stand out. We're called to give God the credit and to give Him the glory. Let's not lose the flavor. We've been called to partake of the Holy Spirit so that we can live their way of life. And to do that, we must let their light shine in us as we use the Holy Spirit. And to do that, we must seek their character in our lives. And to do that, we must be seeking these godly attributes.